Welcome to the Talk with Clads podcast. Your host is Katie Ann, an island girl on a journey with her guests to learn about their backgrounds, businesses, passions, experiences, life lessons, and wins. Come and laugh, cheer, learn, and plan with us. My friend, take some time to come and talk with Clads.
Do you want to provide a memorable experience at your event? Book PinBounce at 561-727-5488.
PinBounce offers bounce houses, cotton candy machines, tables, chairs, and other event services in Palm Beach County, Florida. We offer all you need in one place. Follow us on social media using @PinBounce. And to book your event, call us at 561-727-5488. Remember, we put the P in party with the Pin Bounce Touch.
Go Pin Bounce!
Hello, world. Welcome to Talk with Clads. My name is Katie Ann, and I will be your host for today. Welcome, welcome, welcome! So, I wanted to, one, check in. How you doing? How you feeling? How's your week going? Hopefully, it has been an amazing week thus far for you. And I was thinking about, like, what would we chat about this week? As business owners, what's on your, or if you're thinking about going into business, what would be on your mind? So I thought about a topic, and the topic I wanted to talk to you about is navigating the challenges and finding a profitable niche as a business owner. So in this episode, we are going to dive into the difficulties that business owners face when trying to find a profitable niche. We're also going to explore the desires for independence and autonomy that drive business owners, as well as the fear of public failure that often accompanies the search for the perfect niche. So I am hoping that you will learn from this conversation, enjoy this conversation. Feel free to reach out, give feedback, because we are on this journey together. What makes you want to become your own boss, an entrepreneur, be your own business owner? Entrepreneurs are often drawn to the idea of independence and autonomy for a variety of reasons. And some of the key motivators behind this desire that I wanted to discuss with you are creative freedom, like your control over your decision making, flexibility and work-life balance, financial rewards, personal growth, making a difference, and building a legacy. So I'm going to discuss each of this individually on our podcast today. So let's start. So the first one is creative freedom. Entrepreneurs are often driven by a desire for creative freedom. They want to be able to bring their innovative ideas to life without the constraints and limitations of traditional employment. Being your own boss allows a business owner, entrepreneur to explore their creative and implement their vision in their business. Let's discuss control over decision making. So control over decision making means being an entrepreneur. It means having, you have that complete control over the decision making process. This includes determining the direction of the business, setting goals, making strategic choices, and deciding on the best course of action. Having autonomy in decision making allows entrepreneurs to align their business with their personal values and priorities. And that is tied back to creative freedom. And that's the reason why you're drawn to the idea of independence and autonomy. Obviously, you're going to be navigating challenges, but for right now, we're just discussing the draw to entrepreneurship. So let's talk about flexibility and work-life balance. Independence and autonomy also provide entrepreneurs, business owners with the flexibility to create their work-life balance. They can set their own schedules, prioritize their personal commitments, and design a work environment that suits their needs. The level this level of flexibility can lead to improved overall well-being and satisfaction. Now, I want to speak about this based on my personal experience. When I was an employee, obviously, we joke about being the 9-to-5. And 9-to-5 doesn't mean that that's your set schedule. It's just a typical schedule in a corporate world. Because if you're in healthcare, it could be 7-to-3. Was it 7-to-3, 3-to-11, 11-to-7? So, but we're going to use 9-to-5. 9-to-5 means that you clock in at that time and you clock in at 9, you clock out at 5. You may take your lunch breaks, you may take brief breaks, but you're trying to get your job done within that set time frame for your employer. Now, when you're a business owner, it's a little bit different. You may not be working a 9-to-5, or you may feel like I'm going to have more time. But my experience has been that it is actually the opposite. You're always working. You're always on, because in a term that they use is that you eat what you kill. Doesn't mean that you're going to go around and kill anything. It's just a saying. But if you're not producing, then you can't reap what you sow. So if you're not producing, you cannot reap from anything, because you're not producing anything. So you may find that your hours are not going to be an 8-hour day, but a 12-hour day, a 14-hour day, a 16-hour day in the beginning of the business. Some people, that may not be their experience, but for myself and many of the business owners that I have the opportunity to work with and interact with, I mean, that has been in the case. You're going to work a little bit harder. So the work-life balance, while you may be attracted to it, it may not come in the beginning. So I just wanted to discuss that a little bit more. Another thing that why you may be drawn, or you may be thinking, you're out of school, or you're like, I don't really see the need for an education. And I encourage, and you may not have to do a formal education, but kind of be a lifelong learner as an entrepreneur, is the mindset of the financial reward. So many entrepreneurs are attracted to the potential financial reward that comes with being their own boss. As the business owner, they have the opportunity to directly benefit from the success and growth of their venture. This financial independence can be a powerful motivator and provide a sense of accomplishment and security. Going back to the flexibility and the productivity, where you reap what you sow, a lot of times they say in the first 2 years, it's hard for a business. You're not going to see profits. But that's why it's important to go in with a plan, check the resources, banks, reach out to the Small Business Association to see what types of grants that they may have for your business, what you may qualify for, because the financial reward may not be there in the beginning. So you may have to do some sacrifice. A lot of times, new business owners, they don't pay themselves for the first few years. They pretty much invest in the business. So while it's an enticement, who doesn't want to have financial rewards? We also have to go in with our eyes open and know that being an entrepreneur has its risk. We want personal growth and development. I know that's something that I look for. So when you have independence and autonomy, this offers entrepreneurs the chance for personal growth and development. You can challenge yourself, you can learn new skills, overcome obstacles along the entrepreneurial journey. And this is continuous learning and personal growth can be highly fulfilling and rewarding. And I can tell you, I am a lifelong learner. I speak about being in school. I'll go to court, learn different courses that are business related. And just as a business owner, you always want to know what's new. How can I use this for my business? So that is why it's always very important to have continuous growth and development, because that's how you're going to gain that competitive advantage. Another point was you're attracted to it because you want to make a difference as an entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs are often having a strong desire to make a positive impact on the world. They may say, what's my community or corporate footprint? I forget the word. Now I'm going blank. But you want to create something that's meaningful, solve problems, and contribute to society. And so being your own boss allows you to pursue your passion and create a business that aligns with these values and goals. For mine, I believe in small businesses. That's why I invite business owners to come on and speak about their businesses. And then I select a nonprofit at the end of the year. I choose to support that nonprofit for the upcoming year. And I also make a donation based on what they believe in, what their mission and value is. Is it aligned with mine? I am big on global peace, and that is why you have heard me had people from conflict resolution coming and discussing it. I would like to give back. I am Jamaican by birth, even though I'm American through naturalization. I would love to go back, and I do intend to go back to and see how I can impact the country where I was born. So how do I give back? Do I give back to the schools? Do I give back through mentorship? A lot of times we have women that are being, not all women, so let me just start with that, but are at a disadvantage in the community. And that could be a part of just the culture. So how do I kind of impact gender-based biases against women in Jamaica? But that's for another subject. I don't want to go off on a tangent. But for me, the footprint that I want to leave back, one is generational wealth for my children, but also I want to impact the country where I was raised for women and children coming behind me. And that actually goes into building a legacy. So one of the reasons why many people are attracted to entrepreneurship is because they want to build a legacy. Independence and autonomy gives you the opportunity to build a lasting legacy. And if you had listened to the podcast with Diana Stevens, and she's the CEO of Imagit Immigration Services, a fellow Jamaican like myself, one of the things that she mentioned was she wants to leave a legacy. And hers, it's immigration services. She's an immigrant. So she wants to, when I look back, I think I asked her the question, you never asked me, what do I want my legacy to be, Katie Ann? You asked me all these questions about immigration, but what's the legacy I want to leave back? And that's immigrate. How do I impact your life through immigration? Someone impacted mine through immigration. I am an immigrant who navigated the labyrinth of the immigration system, this maze. And so I want to help other immigrants who are coming here in the United States to kind of give them the resources and tools to navigate the system through what I have learned. So I actually like that. That was going to be her legacy. And so you can create, and for me, I hope that when I don't want my kids to feel forced into it, if this is something that they want to pursue, I would want to pass my business to them. So building a legacy that gives entrepreneurs the ability to create a business that can be passed down to future generations or have a lasting impact on their industry or community. This sense of leaving a mark and creating a lasting legacy can be a powerful motivator for entrepreneurs. And yeah, sometimes I use the word small business because you can be an entrepreneur that starts with a small business and that goes into a $1 billion business. You're still an entrepreneur. You started that business. You are the business owner. At the end, you may get shareholders, but that's your business. And how many times have we seen through generational wealth where you have businesses that are created and it gets passed down from one generation to another generation, and that is why you have the success of that entrepreneur. L'Oreal, like the company L'Oreal, is an example of that. I think it was in the early 20th century, you had a French chemist, I think his name was Eugène Chaulier, I may be pronouncing that wrong. He formulated and manufactured his own product, and he would sell this to the hairdressers in Paris. And they were in the like hair color business, but it branched out into like other beauty products. And then it grew and grew and grew. And so it was able to become a worldwide company. And then it ended up from generation to generation. Then you had Lillian Bettencourt, who was the daughter and the founder of L'Oreal. She died. I think she died in 2017. And she was able to leave the business to her daughter, Francoise Bettencourt Myers. Now, L'Oreal does have shareholders, but it started with the young chemist. And then it went from, it was developed, sold to different for hair color business, and then sold to other beauty products, probably one of the biggest beauty companies in the world. But that's a company that's passed from generation to generation and has developed generational wealth. So the desire for independence and autonomy is a driving force for many entrepreneurs. It allows them to have creative freedom, control over decision making, flexibility in work-life balance, potential financial rewards, personal growth, the ability to make a difference, and the opportunity to build a lasting legacy. These benefits contribute to their motivation and drive to pursue entrepreneurship, or some would say owning your own business. But you have to understand the challenges of finding a niche, like what area, who am I going to target when I start my own business? So like finding a profitable niche can be a challenging endeavor for many new business owners. And some of the factors that contribute to the difficulty is market saturation, identifying like what the customer needs are, and targeting that specific audience. What about like market trends and trades, customer validation, competitive analysis? And so you have to implement strategies that would help you to kind of battle these challenges. So let's discuss the factors that contribute to the difficulties. So what's market saturation? Many industries and markets are already saturated with businesses offering similar products or services. Let's look at, so standing out and finding a unique niche becomes more challenging in such competitive environments. So when we speak about saturation, like you had let's look at the taxi services, right? You only had yellow cab taxi services or white cab taxi services. And right, it was becoming just taxi service. And you had, okay, what can we look at to be different? So you had Uber that came in. It's the same market as the yellow cab, white cabs, taxi services. Different concept where you could go through your phone and then you could kind of just book them right away versus making that phone call. And you could go ahead and plan your trip and pay for it or pre-schedule it. So after Uber came in and they took the market by storm, then you had, I thought about it, Lyft. Similar concept. So what we have now is a new services that is coming in. Now the market is saturated, but they are trying to, and it's called HerRide. It's a little bit different. It's only available for services in Atlanta, I think. Atlanta and Athens, Georgia. But what they are looking at as the niche is versus just targeting all ages, sexes, for rideshare, it is targeting the female consumer. So Her Ride is a new ride-sharing service that is focused on the safety and empowerment of women. So it was built with the needs of women in mind. And the idea is to transport women in a safe environment. And if you remember, Uber, Lyft, they were getting a lot of flack, and they have a lot of lawsuits, reports of their female customers that have had crimes done against them. So Her Ride, they identified that gap in the rideshare business, and so they are targeting that niche. So, which I think it's a very good idea. So I'm curious to see how it will go and if they will go to other states. But that was a great idea of identifying a niche in a market saturated environment. And they were able to identify the customer needs. So a challenge is understanding the customer needs. Understanding the customer preference is crucial for niche selection. But you have to accurately identify and predict like the customer's demands, because that can be complex. And so in identifying the customer need, this process requires thorough market research and analysis. Also, when you're identifying your niche, a lot of the challenges, and I went through this, was targeting a specific audience, because you don't want your business to be so generalized that you lose focus. So niche selection involves targeting a specific audience with specific needs, and you're defining and understanding this target audience requires in-depth research and a clear understanding of their demographics, behaviors, and pain points. So going into business, it requires a lot of research, because you're also having to know the market trends and changes. The markets are constantly evolving with new trends emerging and consumer preferences shifting. So keeping up with these changes and adapting niche selection accordingly can be challenging for entrepreneurs. And if you think about it, look at that, the lesson behind Blockbuster and Netflix, where I think Netflix approached Blockbuster, because if you remember Blockbuster, if you're as old as I am, you would rent movie in the form of a video cassette. You'd put it in your video player, play it. You have a couple of days to watch it. Then you have to rewind it and bring it back to Blockbuster. If it wasn't rewinded to the front, then they would charge you an extra fee. With Netflix, the idea behind Netflix, which is instant gratification, where you can access the movie instantly. And Blockbuster wasn't ready. They were not able to identify that. And they kind of turned away Netflix. They didn't like the business proposition. And we know the end result of that, where Blockbuster ended up going out of business, and Netflix is one of the biggest providers, if not the biggest provider, of providing entertainment services, and a $1 billion business. Also, a challenge is customer validation. Validating the demand for a niche is essential before the investing of significant time and resources. Obtaining feedback from potential customers and conducting market tests helps to ensure that the chosen niche that you want to do has a viable customer base. And we can go back to the Her Ride, where they're looking at the female consumer. They say when you're choosing to ride with Her Ride, you're supporting a like-minded driver and elevating your community. They vet their drivers. And I think the pay that they give to, like, if you wanted to be a Hurrah driver, I think you get to keep 80% of whatever the fee is. So As I said, I'm curious to see how this business will grow. Also, you have to do a competitive analysis. You have to do that thorough analyzation of your competitors within the chosen niche. This is important to understand what their offering, strengths, weakness, and marketing position. And this analysis helps identify opportunities to differentiate and create a unique value proposition. So immediately in looking at HerRide, I know, okay, HerRide and is different than Uber and Lyft based on who the target audience is. Because we think of Uber and Lyft, anyone, they target everyone. Their target audience is pretty huge. But HerRide is targeting women, which is, I'd be also curious to see what are the age group, because then you kind of have to, when you're doing your niche, you're targeting not only the gender, you're also looking at the age group and other things. So strategies and tools that can help overcome these challenges and make informed niche decision is, one, as I said, you have to conduct market research. Comprehensive market research helps identify market gaps, untapped opportunities, and customer needs.
You're listening to Talk with Clads. Find more resources online at cladsresources.com. Now back to the show with your host, Katie Ann.
The research involves analyzing industry reports, conducting surveys, and gathering insights from relevant sources. And what I would say is, with using what's there, I mean, with the AI right now, information is so readily available for you to access that the internet, the World Wide Web, is information overload that allows you to do those, your research, your surveys, or look at previous surveys. You may even have access to your competitor surveys, but it is very important for you to do your research. You also have to define a unique selling proposition, also referred to as USP. So identifying and defining a unique selling proposition helps differentiate a business from competitors. It involves understanding the business strengths, unique value proposition, and how it solves its customers' pain points. If you think about a business like Starbucks, right? Their unique selling proposition is very simple. It revolves around premium coffee beverages. So it's like, love your beverage or let us know, and we'll always make it right. So they are making, or we want you to love what we sell. Customer service is number one. And if you don't like what we sell, we'll make it right. So it's very important to have a USP. You may not think that you need one, but it's important. As I said, USP stands for unique selling proposition, or some people may refer to it as unique selling points, known as a unique value proposition. It is the thing that differentiates a product or service from its competitors. And a unique selling point, it revolves around price, quality, and or service. And that is because, why it revolves around the price, quality, and services, because those three things are typically what customers value the most. It's a statement that the benefits of what your business does or what it offers, how your business solves the problem or needs of your customers, what sets your business and offerings apart from your competitors. And it is the unique value that you offer in the market and to your customer base. Very, very, very if you don't have a clear vision of what makes you unique, you're more than less likely to stand out from the competition because you don't know how to sell your product. You won't leave that lasting impression in the minds of your prospect. So it is your job to define, and when you're creating that market message, to implement what your USP is. Also, your customer persona development. So when you're creating detailed customer personas, this helps understand the target audience demographics, behaviors, motivators, and preferences. The information will also help you in tailoring your products and services and market's effort to meet their specific needs. So that's where that market analysis is coming in, where you're, what's your unique selling proposition, and you put that with your customer persona development together. As a new business owner, analyzing competitors is crucial for your business. It's crucial for your business to understand the competitive landscape and identify gaps or opportunities in the market. By studying competitors, entrepreneurs can gain valuable insights that can inform their business strategies and decisions. And that's why a lot of times you'll be advised to do a SWOT analysis. What's your strengths? What's your weakness? What's your opportunities? What's a threat? And a lot of times the threat in that analysis may be another competitor in your market. So when you analyze or understand the competitive landscape, analyzing competitors helps you to understand who your competitors are, what products or services they offer, and how they position themselves in the market. This knowledge is essential for businesses to differentiate themselves and stand out from the competition. Also, identifying gaps and opportunities. So by analyzing competitors, entrepreneurs can identify gaps in the market where there is a demand for a particular product or service that's not being met. And this presents an opportunity for businesses to fill that gap and attract customers who are looking for alternatives. Also, techniques for analyzing competitors. Products. You can analyze competitors' products to understand their features, the quality, and pricing. Compare this with your offerings to identify areas where you can improve or differentiate. For pricing, you can study the competitors' pricing strategies to determine how they position themselves in terms of price. This can help you to set competitive prices or offer value-adding pricing strategies. Also, you're looking at marketing strategies. Look at how competitors market their products or services. Analyze their advertising, their branding, and promotion tactics to see what works and what doesn't in the market. Also, you're going to look at the customer's experience. Evaluate competitors' customers' experience, including their customer service, their satisfaction level. And then this can help to provide you insights into areas where you can enhance your own customer experience. So also, you're looking at the differentiation and unique value proposition, which we discussed a little bit earlier. So I'm encouraging you to differentiate your offering by providing unique value propositions that set you apart from your competitors. This can be one, when you look at that competitive analysis through quality, customer service, or other factors that appeal to whoever your target customer needs are. And so now, how do you address unmet customer service needs? Because that's a big challenge. So by analyzing your competitors and understanding customer feedback, entrepreneurs can identify unmet customer needs and develop products or services that cater to those needs. Addressing these gaps can help business attract and retain customers. So analyzing competitors is a strategic practice that can help businesses thrive in a competitive market. By leveraging competitor insights, entrepreneurs can make informed decisions, differentiate their offerings, and capitalizing on marketing opportunities. One of the things I also wanted to discuss is leveraging social listening and online communities, right? You have to remember that using social listening tools and monitoring online communities can help to provide your business with valuable insights into customer conversations, pain points, and emerging trends. We go on Reddit. We look at the Amazon communities. There's so many communities out there that you can get this feedback. And so some of the benefits and recommendation to consider is it's to have insights into customer conversations. Social listening tools allow businesses to track and analyze what customers are saying about their brand, because you are your brand. It's very important to track what someone is saying about your brand, what they're saying about your product and industry and social media platform, because this helps businesses understand customer sentiment, reference, and it gives feedback in real time. Also, it allows you to identify pain points. So by monitoring online communities and social media conversations, businesses can identify common pain points and challenges that customers are facing. This information can be used to improve products, services, and customer service experiences. And this is something that I practice in my business today. When I'm speaking to a client, I say, look at what your employees are saying about your employer brand. Go on Google review, see what they're saying. Go on Indeed, see what they're saying. Even if it's a disgruntled, or you may say, oh, this person is a disgruntled employee, I say, respond to the feedback. Show that you're an engaged employer, because other employees or potential employees are looking at that feedback. They want to see what someone is saying about you on Glassdoor. So if they see that, because we all know that you have employees or previous employees that may be disgruntled. That's a term for them. They're disgruntled. So they may leave bad reviews on Facebook and Glassdoor and Indeed. But if the employer is responding, acknowledging their experience and say, we're learning from it, and I'm a potential employee and I'm reading that information, I may still apply to that position. So this is feedback that I give my clients in their day-to-day as an HR consultant, saying, hey, look at this. Don't let it just slip by. Pay attention to your consumer voice or customer voice. Pay attention to see what's being said about your employer brand. So this is something that I actually practice. I actually practiced this as of last week. So also look at emerging trends. Social listening tools can help businesses stay informed about emerging trends, industry discussions, and topics of interest on their target audience. This allows a business to adapt their strategies and offerings to align with current trends. Look at what's being said about your business. How can I align what my unique selling point is with these trends, but still make a strategic decision that has longevity with it? Also, look at recommendation of tools. Mention is a social listening tool that allows businesses to monitor brand mentions, track social media conversation, and analyze sentiment around their brand. You have also, I think, BrandWatch. BrandWatch provides social media monitoring and analytics to help businesses track brand mentions, industry trends, and consumer insights. For social media listening, you have platforms like Hootsuite, Sprout Social, and TalkWalker that offer social media listening features that enables businesses to monitor their brand, track keywords, and analyze social media conversations. I am giving you examples. I'm not necessarily recommending any of this. I'm just saying that they're out there. So you can do your own research. I always say it's very, 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 very important for you to do your research before making decision with your business. So I gave you a few. Do your own research, because I'm sure you can find some that's for you. Also, it's important to have active engagement with social media. You're listening to it, but what are you doing about it? It's very important to have active engagement with online communities. In fact, entrepreneurs are always encouraged to actively engage with online communities and participate in relevant discussions to gain deeper insights into customer needs, preferences, and pain points. So by engaging with customers directly, businesses can build relationships, gather feedback, and establish themselves as thought leaders in their industry. If you're able to leverage social listening tools and monitor online communities, that can provide you as a business owner with valuable insight that can inform marketing strategies, product development, and customer engagement initiatives. So by actively listening to customer conversations and actively engage with online communities, businesses can stay ahead of the curve and meet the evolving needs of their target market. So one of the things I also wanted to discuss is the importance of testing and validating. Testing niche ideas and validating market demand before fully committing resource is crucial as a business owner. This helps to minimize risk and ensure the viability of your business concept. So here's one of the things I would say. I'll go over some of the ideas that I want to stress on this podcast. And the first one is importance of testing your niche idea. Testing your niche idea allows entrepreneurs to assess market demand, validate whatever the assumptions that you may have, and gather feedback from potential customers before investing significant resource. This iterative approach helps in refining the business concept and increases the chances of being success. Also, you want to have some strategies for market testing. So market tests, you're going to conduct small scale market tests or survey groups to gauge interest and collect feedback from target customers. So when I was launching Footsteps to My Vision, I actually had focus groups, and that was family members, friends. I had like the different sample materials. I discussed the concept of what the journal was going to be. And I actually got the idea of the Talk with Clads podcast through that group, because the podcast was never on the list. It was just, let's just do this planner. And someone was like, well, if you're going to do a planner that is a little bit different, how about you have a podcast that can go along with it? And so that's how the Talk with Clads podcast came about. So also, you can do pilot programs. Launch pilot programs or limited time offers to test the market response and gather data on customer preference. Also, you have something that's called minimum viable product, also MVP. And this develops a simple version of the product or service to test key features and gather feedback on usability and value proposition. So here are some examples of successful business iterating based on feedback. Airbnb. Initially, Airbnb started as a platform for renting air mattresses in a spare room. After they went through their test phase, they received feedback from users. They iterated on their concept and expanded to offer a wider range of accommodations, leading to their current success. Have you ever heard of Dropbox? Dropbox launched a MVP version of their cloud storage service to test the market demand. And then based on user feedback, they continuously improved the product's feature and user experience leading to a widespread adoption. So those are two examples and two successful companies. And no doubt of you have heard of Airbnb and also Dropbox. So what's the iterative approach? So I would encourage you to adopt an iterative approach to product development and business strategy by testing your ideas, gathering the feedback, and iterating based on the customer insights. Businesses can adapt to market dynamics and meet customer needs effectively. You also want to validate the market, right? So you got to look at the demand. It's very important to validate the market demand through real-world testing and feedback. And listen to your customers and understand their preferences. You can tailor your offerings to align with market needs and preference. So I want to say this to you when I'm kind of summing up this part is testing niche ideas and validating market demand through market tests using pilot programs and MVP versions is a strategic approach that can help you as an entrepreneur make informed decisions, take a calculated risk, refine what you're offering, and increase the likelihood of success in the market. By incorporating the customer feedback and iterating based on market validation, businesses can create products and services that resonate with their target audience and growth. And I give you my own experience. If you were listening to the Alpha Talk with Clads podcast, this was start through the same process. It was never a part of the plan. I had no interest in doing podcasting. And I had a focus group with the house. They were looking at the actual planner. They went through the planner, liked it, gave feedback on some of the material, usability of the actual planner, the idea of the planner, what they'd like to see in the planner through what my target group was. And someone's like, you know what? I would love to have a podcast that invites entrepreneurs, business owners, industry leaders on that's aligned with this planner. And so that is how Talk with Clads became the podcast that it is today. So let's talk about feedback, right? So feedback from potential customers, mentors, and industry experts is essential. It is absolutely essential for entrepreneurs throughout the niche selection process. Best practice, I would say, is a customer feedback. Gathering that feedback from potential customers helps you as an entrepreneur to understand their needs, preferences, and pain points. And it helps to guide the development of the product or service that you're going to offer. Mentor and expert feedback, right? Seeking input from mentors and industry experts. This provides valuable insights. It with the different perspectives and guides on niche selection, market trends, and also on your business, may help to guide on your business strategies. And you have to be open to feedback. It's one thing to receive it, but you have to be open to feedback. And when I say feedback, I mean constructive criticism. It's very, very, very important to be open to constructive criticism and feedback. Entrepreneurs should view feedback as an opportunity for growth and improvement rather than as a setback. Look at the iterative approach, right? Iterate on your idea based on the feedback that you receive. You can incorporate the suggestions that you receive. You can address the concerns and make improvements, right? Businesses can incorporate their offerings and better meet customer needs. And it's also the same with when you're incorporating, like you hear the feedback from your customer, but what are you going to do with the feedback? You're going to incorporate it. So surveys and interviews, you can conduct surveys, interviews, and focus groups to gather direct feedback from your customers on their preferences, whatever their pain points are, and satisfaction levels. And then you do a feedback loop. Establish feedback loops to have that continuous collection to analyze the customer feedback throughout the process. So you're continuously improving, you're continuously developing, and you analyze it analyze the trends, the common themes, the areas of improvement, and use the data that you receive to make informed decision making and prioritize product enhancements. Act on the customer feedback, implement the change, monitor the feedback. It's very important to seek feedback from customers, mentors, industry experts. It's a valuable practice that can help you as a business owner make informed decisions, refine their ideas, create offerings that meet market needs effectively. And by being open to feedback, iterating an idea, and incorporating the customer input into product development, businesses can enhance their product or services. You can build customer service, you can build your customer loyalty, and you can drive business growth. So identifying profitable niches, it requires a combination of several things. It requires self-reflection, market research, competitor analysis, validation through testing and feedback. Entrepreneurs should leverage your passion. You should leverage your passion and expertise, conduct thorough market research, analyze competitors, utilize keyword research through SEO tools, listen to your customer conversation, test and validate the ideas, and continuously seek feedback to refine your niche selection. If you're able to follow these strategies and best practices, as an entrepreneur, you can increase your chance of finding a profitable niche and building a successful business, because that is ultimately the goal, is to build a successful business. So thank you, everyone, for kind of just listening as we chit chat today. And hopefully you learned some things on navigating the challenges and finding a profitable niche as a business owner. I know that I learned a few things, and some of the things I practiced and some of the things were, I was like, okay, Katie, you're saying it, you need to continuously practice this stuff if you want to get to the next level. So thank you so much for taking some time to listen, everyone, and taking some time to talk with Clads and listen to Clads. Bye, guys.
Clads Resources and Consulting values its customers. Our planner Footsteps to My Vision is a 13-month planner that can be used for 5 years. It walks you through SMART goals, SWOT analysis, action planning, and holds you accountable through 3 monthly check-ins. We work only with top quality materials, innovative designs, and verified suppliers, which are guaranteed to deliver to our high expectations, because when it comes to our customer satisfaction, there's no room for compromise. Made with high quality PU leather and paper planner helps you focus on achieving your goals by giving you a sense of personal and professional satisfaction. Some of the amazing features of this product: Vision Board Planner, luxury pen, 8 GB USB flash drive, wireless mouse, ultra elegant packaging box, available in 5 stunning colors, black, red, gold, pink, navy blue. Material, PU leather, 13-month planner, elastic band for easy handling. Our Footsteps to My Vision is available at Amazon, Facebook, Instagram, our website, and at Walmart. You may also follow us at www.cladsresources.com, Instagram, Clads Resources, Facebook, www.facebook.com/cladsresources/.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media at Clads Resources and online at www.cladsresources.com. Our planner, Footsteps to My Vision, is also located on our website or on Facebook, Instagram, or Amazon. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share, and check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, keep creating your footpath to your vision.